What's going on, guys? It's Chris Mead, back for another episode of My Biggest Lessons from the DDCX Exceptional E-Commerce Podcast. I got my good friend and also somebody that we work with internally at CrossNet, Michael Oy. Nice to have you on, man.
Hey, hey. Yeah, thanks for having me. This is exciting.
I appreciate it. So, little backstory on Michael, TikTok influencer, Instagram creative, just an all-around like social media guru, Forbes 30 under 30 winner. Give me a little background on yourself. How do you currently describe yourself? I know you said a retired creative on your LinkedIn. So how are you calling yourself these days?
Yeah. So, I mean, little backstory. I have 1.4 mil on TikTok. So I used to be a full-time creator. I mean, I was really in it. I also co-founded one of the first TikTok houses in LA. So that's how we were also able to get Forbes. I really lived the creator life. I mean, I was like in an influencer house filled with creators and lived that life for about a year and a half until transitioning out of it, because my role in the house was actually to oversee all the brand deals coming in. So I was front facing doing all the content, but also on the back end, I was working with all the deals, dealing with press, brand deals, song promotions that came in. And then eventually I wanted to transition out of it just because I got sick of the whole influencer type of thing and transitioned to be on the back end, which I've currently been enjoying so far. And now we essentially are still on TikTok, but we just help artists and brands create content on the platform. So essentially taking a backseat to TikTok, but still involved.
That's crazy, dude. I couldn't even imagine living in an influencer TikTok house. Did you create, like, did you make the partnerships and the people there? For most people listening, right? Like,
yeah,
I live with my fiance, right? And it feels like I'm in a TikTok house sometimes, right? Just watching Desperate Housewives around like nonstop. Yeah. How is that? Is it nonstop just creating content? Did you invite people in? Did you have to get invited? What's that look like?
Yeah. So I know like in LA, when TikTok houses were a huge thing, which was 2020, when we did move, I moved in May 2020. The setup for each house is different. I think for us, like we really wanted to treat it as a business. So me being sort of overseeing the business side, I made sure that everyone was down in the meeting room every day at 9 a.m. And what we would do is we would just oversee the accounts and we would be like, okay, what brand deals are coming in? What do we have to shoot for brands and song promos? And then also too, on the flip side, what content pieces do we have to put out just to organically grow the page? Because we don't want to just post all promos. We want to grow it with just normal content. And then also too, we would chat about what collaborations are we setting up for this week or this month? What big events do we have to attend in person? So we like really treated it as like a business, which I think was like pretty cool. I think with other houses, some have done it really well. And other times they just like come in and they just like have fun, which is fine. But like we wanted to take a different approach.
More like the Jersey Shore, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's cool. Any, what kind of lessons did you learn there, right? There's obviously probably a lot of mistakes, let's be honest, right? There's things that you learned. What would you learn from the creative side? And what have you learned from like the brand side? So like somebody like a CrossNet or another e-commerce brand, what's the best way to deal with these influencers?
Yeah, I think on the creative side, just as a creator, I think we're moving into this new space where like personal brands are so important, right? Like you're building your personal brand, right? I'm building mine. And I think just because of social media in general, like you always will have that digital footprint, right? No matter what you do. I think it's important when you're a creator or if you want to be on social media, you have to really think a few years out because it's like, what do I want to be known for, right? Because I think when I was in the moment just being a creator, I was just focusing on like, what's my next viral video? What's my next viral video? But then a year after that, I stopped making content. So I was like, okay, like what I was creating was sort of pointless because the brand that I built isn't what I want to be known for anymore. So I think that's the one thing for like the creative is like, think long-term about this. Now, obviously like you can transition from time to time. Like I was able to transition from a creator then to someone really in music. And like now I run an agency and production company. Like that's the brand I built, but it took a decent amount of time for me to get out of that influencer shell. So I think just thinking long-term on the creative side is important. And then for brands, I think like they view TikTok as like the Wild West, right? They're like, oh, we need to chase it. It's a new platform. And I see a lot of brands, they're just spending money left and right. There's no like strategy behind it. It's either like, oh, like some brands focus on paid, some focus on organic, like growing their TikTok. Others focus on influencer marketing, which I think like TikTok like just outperforms other platforms right now just because it's so hot. I think what brands should really focus in on right now is building their presence on TikTok, having that brand equity on platform. Because if you think about the early days of Instagram, if a brand were to go on and they were to build a fan base right off the bat, that fan base can live on for like years, right? Which I think TikTok is right now is the perfect opportunity to do that. So
no, absolutely. We're doing the same thing, right? We're heavily invested in TikTok. It feels like the early days of the IG, like you said, where we could actually make a difference. The money that we're spending is actually showing return. So definitely aligned there. From a creative side though, right? Like I'm working on building this personal brand. I have the podcast, I have the newsletter, I have CrossNet to kind of keep building. From somebody who wants to have that personal brand or become that creator, is it better to focus on one platform or try to be focusing on all of them?
I think you should always have your go-to platform. You should focus on one, because when you focus on one, all your attention's there, all the traffic is there. I think TikTok is great because once you have a good foundation on TikTok, which out of any platform, you can grow the fastest on TikTok, right? You build a platform on TikTok, then you're able to use that fan base to grow your following on other platforms like Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, right? But I would say just focus on one, because I think everyone is trying to do everything all at once. And trying to do everything all at once, I think content and just, you know, your energy just becomes so like dispersed and you can't consolidate and focus on one thing. And yeah, just focus on one platform and you'll be good.
That's good advice. Yeah, I've done the same thing personally. In the beginning, I tried to do everything and it just burned me out.
It's hard. You'll get burned out.
I started with LinkedIn and LinkedIn was great. I'm up to like 20,000 like really good dedicated like e-commerce followers there. And now I'm working on building the Twitter, which then parlayed to the newsletter. So I think just working on one zone, whether it's TikTok or whatever you want the goal to be, like find that one platform that works for you has been cool.
Yeah. And I think too, when you see all these like big people in social media, like a Gary Vee or like other big entrepreneurs who like, whether you're a creator or entrepreneur, like they get to the point where they have a team behind them, right? Most people are just starting out just themselves. And aside from social media, they probably have like their own jobs or their own thing that they're doing. Like it's unrealistic to do everything.
Absolutely. So talk about like, so you have a team behind you now, right? Like one, why? Why would you go from being a creator, which is obviously like a sexy, I can do what I want when I want, in theory, make money for taking selfies to running an agency. Yeah. Why did you make that switch?
I think, well, one, being in the influencer scene, it's very tricky. Like only a few really make it. Only a few really have that personal identity that will stay relevant for a long, long time, depending on the type of content you make, right? Like for me, I was just making comedy videos, but realistically, I was like, I'm not going to be a comedian. I don't want to be a comedian. I don't want to be a YouTuber in the future. So it's like, okay, if I don't see anything long-term, then I'm just going to cut it and I'm going to switch. That's why I pivoted. And I think also another thing is what our agency focuses on now is helping artists and brands create content on TikTok to build their platforms. And so I love helping artists create and develop their like careers. Like that's something that I've been a fan of doing and I've just had the most joy. So that's why I transitioned into more of a passion rather than it just being like, oh, I'm going to post a selfie video and get paid for from like a, you know, a brand or something. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. And so Greg was telling me a little bit about it, but you blew up 24K. He said, I know nothing about, like, I'm not into the rap game. I'm not into following rappers. I listen to alternative rock and like sad music. How does that work? You follow these rappers around the world, make content. What's
in their policy? So it was quite interesting. This was the beginning of 2020. Before the pandemic hit, and I was still in college at the time. I went to Marquette University. I was like a sophomore, and I actually had a decent following on TikTok. I wasn't at the 1.4 mil, which I ended up having. I was at like a few hundred thousand followers, which at the time was a lot, which is surprising. Yeah. And I reached out to Golden 24K over DM, and I was like, hey, like, I know you're going on tour. You're opening up for YB and Corday. Do you have anyone coming on to help you shoot content? And for him, he was like, no, I don't. I hopped on like two FaceTimes with him. I convinced him to let me go on tour, which is crazy. And then I dropped out of school. I packed my bags, flew to Sacramento, and I stayed with him for the full month of January, going into February. And
that's wild.
When I was on tour, I was essentially his, like, you know what a ghostwriter is? I was essentially his ghost content creator. Like, I was, like, shooting all the content behind the scenes, and I was, like, giving him the ideas, and I was telling him what things to shoot. And then at the same time, I was inviting 5 influencers backstage to each show we had. And in exchange for giving them backstage tickets, they would have to promote one of his other songs, City of Angels, and also promote him as an artist. And by the end of tour, I think he, like, grew about anywhere between like 1 to 2 million followers. And City of Angels, which was a very slept on song in his project, ended up being on like Today's Top Hits, and now it's a platinum hit. So crazy.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. How did you build that trust with him though, right? Like, gets a FaceTime from a random kid, flies him out. Like, how did you build that rapport? Because I'm sure a lot of people, their dream is like to work with a creative or work with a rapper or work with some celebrity, right? It'd be awesome to work with Jake Paul and help him build an e-commerce brand. Like, how did you build that trust?
So one, I also had some previous record label experience. So before that, I was in an internship from, I'd say, summer of 2019 to like end of going into like my sophomore year. So I had a decent amount, like a few months of record label experience, like doing like regular influencer marketing on platform, reaching out to influencers, having them promote a song. So I had that under my belt. So I understood music a little bit. And also I created a following myself. So I wasn't capping, right? It's like, I know how to do it for myself. And then when I hopped on a call with them, I actually laid out a plan for him. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go on tour. If I go on tour, I'm going to bring my knowledge from the music industry business that I had a little bit of. I'm going to bring my knowledge of social media, which I did have for myself. And I'm going to just apply to you. And each show that we're going to hit, these are the connections I have within the influencer community. And all of them already confirmed that they would go to the shows and get backstage and promote you. So I sort of laid it out to him. It was up to him to be like, okay, like, am I going to bring him? Like, worst case scenario, like, he could just kick me off whenever.
But that's funny. So then, did he introduce you to a bunch of other rappers after that? Is that, like, how you got into the artist world, or?
Yeah. He introduced me to a few other, like, managers and also artists. And then since then, like, that was my first, 24K was my first case study, right? Because I think in music and entertainment in general, like, your track record is so important. After Golden, I started working with like smaller projects and I started building them up and slowly built up a reputation. And then when I moved to LA after that, that's when like things really started to happen. But
that's crazy. Any big lessons like you wish you wouldn't have done? I'll give you an example, right? I used to work in the film world after school. I got a film degree. I wanted to be a movie director. Grew up in a farm town, so I wanted to be a movie director. And I used to work at HBO, and I was on the show Girls with Lena Dunham. And first day on set, I asked her to take a picture with me. The director came over, almost fired my ass off the set.
No fucking way. That's crazy.
So stupid. Just like the stupidest shit I ever, like, I worked my whole life to get on the damn film set, and I asked for a selfie the first day. I was like, what are you doing, Chris? Any lessons?
Did you get the selfie, though? Did you get the selfie?
I got the selfie, bro. I got like 80 likes. It was great. well worth it. Any lessons you're like, shit, I wish I didn't do this, or damn, like, I definitely am not doing this in the next role?
Yeah, I'd say just when I first moved to LA and I was in the influencer house, I was getting brand deals. I was also getting a lot of introductions and a lot of opportunities in music. I think definitely not taking on more than you can chew. I think that was a hard lesson I learned, because there was one time where I was trying to take on too much, trying to manage the house, trying to do these brand deals, trying to make videos, work in music. I just got way burnt out. And I was also like very young at the time. I was like 19 or 20. I mean, I'm still young now, but like then, like moving from like going from college kid to like running like a business in LA, like it was a lot. And I took on too much because I was like, there's so many opportunities out here. Why would I decline all of them? Honestly, that does more worse than good. So I think that is one, definitely. I think another is utilizing your network properly. I think back then what I would do is I would get introduced to one person, do a project with them, and then try to go on to the next person and then the next person. And it's like this constant wheel, which is not a bad thing. It can continue to happen. But I think what's more valuable is focus on like a few people and just like build with them, because they will bring you more business than like just trying to chase the next one. And I think that's something that I learned pretty quickly. And I'm glad that like I've implemented that with the business that we've built now.
That's so smart, dude. Like I have one mentor. I don't know if I told this on the last podcast, but regardless, I think it's such a good piece of advice was rather than doing that song and dance with a new person every month, which is annoying as hell, right? Because you have your first little date and then you're like, yeah, all right, maybe I'll hit them up in 30 days if I need something. It's find five people this year that you really want to build a better connection with. Follow up with them weekly or monthly. Don't be annoying, of course, but take it from a, hey, we're cordial to, hey, we're actually friends now and like we're here to do business together or just be generally friends, right? Like find those five people each year and build those relationships that way. I started doing it this year and it's been really, really cool.
Yeah, it'll like take you like so much farther than just trying to chase the next thing, right? Like you want to build like meaningful relationships that like will last a long, long time. Because if you reach out to one person and you guys did a project and then you don't reach out for another 5 months, it's like so weird. You know what I mean?
It's like, why is this person hitting me up again? Yeah, for sure.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, it's just sort of whack. So
yeah, it sucks. Hey, and I've learned that too, even from, I guess it's probably a good lesson you've learned for the agency, right? Is like, there's probably a lot of clients out there and it's great to get that recurring money from clients. But if you take on too much as an agency owner, you're going to lose all your clients, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think the biggest thing is like balancing workload. And I think one thing too that I learned, especially within the past few months, is like efficiency and utilizing your time right. Like the whole time, I would think like the mentality is like, oh, I'm going to work from like 6 in the morning to like 8 at night. That's like not okay. You'll like get burnt out like crazy. So that's why like efficiency is important. And also like investing into like people and like helping like them structure their time, right? Like that like has helped our agency out a lot because balancing like workload is like a lot, especially when we have new clients. And yeah, just having a good team that can balance everything out is so important, especially when we scale. Yeah,
absolutely, dude. It's been crazy because like the supply versus demand thing is wild. I started selling like newsletter spots on my newsletter and first I just wrote it not even thinking people would care about it. And now I have people asking to buy sponsorships and it's like there's way too much demand for it and I don't have enough supply for it. And it's like you want to take all these people on, but at the end of the day, you're going to piss everybody off if you do a bad job of managing that. It's tough. Yeah. It's really tough.
That's why like we have like a capacity that we like have until we like expand and scale, then we can take on more. But yeah, don't want to take on more than you can chew because like that's going to ruin your reputation, honestly.
Absolutely. I got one more question for you.
Yeah.
I have special feelings about it, but everyone, I feel like when you start off as an entrepreneur, Forbes 30 under 30 is the one thing you want, right?
Yeah.
How has it changed? Has it changed your life? How do you feel about it afterwards? Honestly.
I mean, I will say I got it when I was, I got it at the age of 20. So that's like very young to be on the list. I will say it's quite funny. Before, when I would head into conversations, I think they would look at me and they'd be like, who's this kid who's like so young? And also too, he like didn't finish college. So it sort of is a little bit, to a degree, like a stamp of approval, which is sort of weird, but like that's just how it is. If I was like 26, 27, it'd be a different story. But like time really like is really against me at my point when I'm talking to these executives. But honestly though, it's been a pleasure. Like in the Forbes community, I mean, I've chatted with a lot of amazing and smart people. So I think it's just expanding a different community that I wouldn't have access to if I didn't get it, really. And also too, like the name is great as well. So
no, absolutely. Yeah, we got it, 2 years ago. And it's definitely opened up a lot of doors, right? I went from begging people to have conversations with me to people trying to have conversations with me.
It's crazy how that will open up so many doors. And just like the respect is just like instantly there. You don't have to earn it. It's like really, it's crazy that like.
It is. Well, dude, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate you having you on and taking your time. You have a good, cool perspective, bro. It's you should be very proud of what you've built. I could not imagine having that many followers and just switching up to build an agency. But you got to build for sustainability. You got to build for your future. So I think you'll be looking back in 10, 15 years being like, damn, I'm really happy I did this.
Yeah, I made the right move. Yeah. But thank you, man. This was super fun. Really enjoyed it.
I love it. Let's talk soon. So that's another episode of My Biggest Lessons. Each and every week, I'll be having one of my favorite entrepreneurs come on, share their stories, their mistakes, the things they wish they knew. Entrepreneurship's a lonely road, right?
You only learn by getting better. You only learn by making mistakes. So I want them to come on and share their stories. If you have somebody in mind that you want on, drop a comment, subscribe, share with a friend. Let's get the best people in the world on here. Thanks for listening.